Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I want to begin the message here tonight with a question for you. Think on this with me. Tell me, how good is your memory? How good is your memory? How well do you remember things? Now, I'm not so concerned this evening about how well you remember your grocery list when you go off to the store, or how many of those honeydews slip your mind until your wife reminds you for the 10th time. You can work on that parts of your memory later. But this evening I'm referring to, and I want you to work on that part of your memory that has to do with unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. That part of your mind that collects, separates, records, and will not let go of each and every offense that has ever been done to you by another person. Every word spoken in anger against you. Every action done to hurt you. Tell me, how good is that bad part of your memory? That deep, deep part of your mind that holds on to those offenses as tenaciously as a bulldog to a bone. Perhaps your feelings were hurt, or your reputation was besmirched, or your self-esteem was broken down instead of being built up. Whatever it was, you remember it. And you remember the person who did it. And you want retribution. You want justice to be done, right? You want them to hurt just as much as what they hurt you, perhaps more. And you want that hurt now, because tomorrow is too late. The quicker and the more painful, the better. That's the memory I'm asking you about here this evening. Do you have any of those types of bad feelings floating around within you? Oh, stifled, perhaps, repressed and pushed down because you know they're not right, that as a Christian they should not be there, but you hold on to those thoughts anyway, long after the offense is done. Do you have a good memory in that bad sort of way? Because you see, if you do, then you especially need to pay close attention to our Lord's teachings on this fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Listen again to the words of our text, verse 14. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We must not overlook the fact, congregation, that it is only about this fifth petition on forgiveness that our Lord feels compelled to expound on immediately after he gets done teaching his disciples how to pray. Now, there's two reasons for this. First of all, our Lord knows that a heart that is filled with unforgiveness is a heart that simply cannot pray properly. Well, words may come out, but they bounce right off the ceiling. So if your heart is filled with this kind of thoughts of revenge, retribution, spite, you're only kidding yourself if you think God hears your prayers. And the second reason that our Lord adds this explanation is because he knows how hard it is for us to do this. How unhuman-like this is for us. How it goes totally against our fallen, sinful nature. You see, we naturally tend toward retribution and revenge. We even give it a nice-sounding name, justice. You know, when others hurt us, we demand justice, don't we? Oh, but when we hurt others, well, then we plead for mercy. And our Lord knows this tendency within us. And that is why he teaches us to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And people of God, the first thing we need to appreciate in order for us to properly pray this fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer is the divine revelation concerning forgiveness. The divine revelation. This revelation is important for us to understand because, you see, in forgiveness we see divine grace. This is the first point of the message tonight. Understand well that in this fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer, the great and central message of God's holy word is being revealed to us. The message on forgiveness. It's a message that goes totally contrary to our normal human sinful nature. A message we would never perceive all on our own. This is not something we would make up by ourselves. If left in our fallen state without divine assistance, we would never think of forgiving someone. It would always be revenge at any cost. Because forgiveness, you see, runs contrary to our fallen human nature. Realize that Christianity is the only one of the world's religions that has a God who forgives. Do you realize this? Christianity is the only one of the world's religions that teaches that a Savior came from God to take upon Himself our sins so that we might be forgiven. Christianity is the only one of the world's religions that does not teach a salvation by human works, but rather it teaches a salvation that is by divine grace alone. And so only in Christianity is there this revelation that brings forgiveness. And only in divine forgiveness does true peace come to our lost and fallen souls. So we must not overlook this tremendous revelation that is given us from God in His holy word about forgiveness. And once we personally understand this and know this revelation for ourselves, once we have this peace that passes understanding, we then are compelled to share that peace with those who are yet at war with us, with Himself, and most importantly, with God. For you see, mankind instinctively knows that he is at war with God, that he's not forgiven. Romans 1 and 2 tells us that every person somehow, some way knows that something's not right within them. They know that there's a God, a supreme being who stands over them and above them, examining him, judging him, testing him, and instinctively fallen man knows he's failed the test. And he must do something about it. Instinctively, he looks for forgiveness, atonement, propitiation. They don't use those words, but they're desperate to find what they know is lacking in their soul. That somehow, somewhere, some way, they can get this burden removed. And so they look to find it in saying enough Hail Marys, perhaps, or by buying more indulgences. Maybe they try to find it in turning to Mecca and praying three times a day, or going on a pilgrimage to a holy city, or by dying as a jihadist in a holy war. Pagan tribes tried to find it in throwing the most beautiful young woman of the village into the volcano on the islands of Hawaii. Or by throwing the most recently born male baby each spring into the raging rivers of the country as the tribes of Indonesia would do. You see, every civilization ever unearthed by archaeologists, ever studied by sociologists, has some sort of appeasement ritual, something that man must do to lift this burden from their soul. Some tradition, some exercise, some act designed to quell the natural fear of God that man has in his heart, to plug the hole that's in his soul. Some way of satisfying their local spirit who holds them in terror in their day-to-day lives. Some way of looking for peace. But it never comes. Only Christianity, you see, teaches where peace can truly be found. And it's not through human effort. It's not by religious exercise. It is through God's work in sending His only begotten Son as that ultimate sacrifice to pay for human sin. Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. That's the message of our religion. That is the revelation that Holy Scripture brings to us of true forgiveness. Well, that leads us naturally then into the second thing that we must appreciate about this fifth petition, namely the remedy upon which this forgiveness is based. The remedy. So first we have this revelation. There is forgiveness available to us, not where we would naturally look, but in the remedy that God Himself gives to us. And this is where our catechism truly helps us out. So please turn with me in the backs of those hymnals, your Trinity hymnals, to Lord's Day 51. It's question and answer 126. And it's found on page 895 in those new Trinity hymnals. 895. We're not used to going up that high number. 895. It's at the very bottom of the page there in the right-hand column. We have here really just one question and answer on forgiveness, on the fifth petition. And so it's very concise, and yet it's very clear where the remedy is found that God Himself has designed for our sins. Look at that with me. Lord's Day 51, question 126. What does the fifth petition mean? And the answer is, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, means because of Christ's blood. Do not impute to us, poor sinners that we are, any of the transgressions we do or the evil that constantly clings to us. Now we need to stop right there and examine this in more detail. For here is our answer. Here's the remedy. Here we have the cry of the truly penitent heart through which forgiveness is found. And notice that it is but with a four brief words that our catechism writers summarize this remedy that's given to us and upon which our forgiveness is based. Look at that first part of the answer again. Because of Christ's blood. There's the remedy for this hurt that we have, this hole in our soul, so simple and yet so profound. This is everything we need to know, you see. This is all that we need to rely on in order to find that forgiveness before the face of Almighty God, full and free, because of Christ's blood. Not because of Hail Marys, not because of virgins in volcanoes, not because of pilgrimages to Mecca, only because of Christ's blood is forgiveness found. Now, our catechism, as you well know, has explained in much more detail earlier in Lord's Days 15 and 16 how Christ's blood accomplishes this forgiveness for us. So they only really need to summarize it here as they remind us how to pray, but with these four simple words, because of Christ's blood, our whole life is changed. Peace, a peace that passes understanding, floods our soul. With these words, Christ's cross falls like a bridge across this chasm that has opened up when we sinned against this holy God, this holy, holy, perfect, pure, righteous God here, fallen man here. What can possibly bring us together? Only the shed blood of Christ on the cross of Calvary. And to walk across that bridge of the cross in faith, to ask that precious blood of Christ be be poured over our own hearts and souls. That is to be forgiven. And peace comes. To know and to trust that on that cross, the great exchange has taken place. How our sins were imputed to, given over, laid upon Jesus Christ, and how Christ's perfect righteousness was imputed then, given over, laid upon us, so that when God looks upon us, he sees the perfect fulfillment and righteousness of Christ. And how when he looks at Christ, he pours out his wrath upon him. Propitiation taking place so that we can be forgiven. So here's the remedy, beloved. But I must also warn you, congregation, that this remedy, this cure for sin, does us no good unless it is personally received by us. And take note of how our catechism emphasizes this. Notice how personal this catechism answer is. Look again at what we've read. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors means because of Christ's blood. Do not impute to us, poor sinners that we are, any of the transgressions we do or the evil that constantly clings to us. We're making a confession about who we are apart from Christ, and it's not pretty. But we're also stating where our hope is found in Christ, and we can rest secure. Can you hear this? And can you confess this yourself? You know, it's easy for us to look out at this fallen world, to watch the evening news, read the morning paper, and to say, well, you know, now there's evil. There's sin that needs to be forgiven. There's a sinner that needs forgiveness. You know, that one's bad. You know, it's easy for us to confess the sins of others, isn't it? But the first part of truly understanding this fifth request is to admit that this world, with all of its evil, is really not much more than a giant-sized version of us. That when we look on out at that world and see all that sin, that we recognize sin's not just out there, it's right here. That I need the forgiveness promised here in the blood of Christ. That every one of us owes a tremendous debt to God because of the sin within us. Now that sin might look different in different people and in different degrees, but it's still present within us from the highbrow to the low. From the sage to the simpleton, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, as Romans 3 tells us. The only question is, will we admit it? Can we confess this of ourselves? As one theologian has put it, those ferocious, ugly wolves of this world howl within the cellar of my own heart. Can you hear those wolves howling within you? Can you ask for personal forgiveness? Will you come in true faith to that cross of Christ? Have your sins exterminated because of Christ? Blood. That's the good news of the gospel. Christ has done it all for us. Therein lies our hope. And if we have done that, then we also have the third thing about this petition that we must confess, and that is a reminder. A reminder. So first of all, we have the revelation that's needed that our God offers true forgiveness, full and free, because of His divine grace. Secondly, we have the remedy that this forgiveness is in fact found then because of Christ's blood. And then thirdly, we have the reminder as we forgive our debtors. Now, this third point is very telling, congregation, because you see, it is in how willing we are to forgive others that we reveal just how well we understand that God has forgiven us. So listen closely here. Jesus, in this petition and in our text, is telling us that when God forgives us for hitting Him with a club, we then must be willing to forgive others when they merely prick us with a pin. Can you hear what I'm trying to say there, congregation? In other words, what others do to us, when sinners sin against sinners, that is really no comparison at all to when sinners offend a holy God. If God can forgive us of what we've done to Him, it should be nothing for us to forgive others for what they've done to us. Now listen closely here. I'm not trying to denigrate the true and the tremendous pain and hurt that some of you have endured at the hands of others. I'm sure there are hurting people here tonight. But our text and the rest of the teaching of Holy Scripture is very clear that if you do not have that forgiving heart and show it towards others who have hurt you, if you cannot let go of that desire for retribution within you, if you desire that that person who has offended you gets what's coming to them, in other words, you see, if you cannot give up on your demand for justice and hand out mercy instead, well, then mercy will not be given to you, either from God come the day of judgment or from anyone else around you. Instead, you see, true justice on the part of God will be handed out to you because you insisted on it towards others. Congregation, let me say this as clearly as what Holy Scripture does. If you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. If there is someone in your life who you simply cannot bring yourself to forgive, if you have such a good memory that you hold a grudge against them, that you resent them bitterly, that whenever you think of them, gall rises up within your throat, if that is you, our Lord says, then you are not forgiven by God. You have an area of your heart that is yet unrepentant and hard, and true faith does not abide within you. And you will spend eternity in the fires of hell. In every one of my congregations that I've served, there's been someone, sometimes whole families, that we've had to work through this together. I am sure in a group this size, there's someone listening to me tonight that these words speak directly to. Do not die in that unrepentant state. Run into the arms of your Savior and pray for that new heart to be given to you so that you can forgive as you've been forgiven. Now I can hear somebody saying, oh, come on, preach, you mean to tell me that God's forgiveness of me is conditional? That God forgives me based upon how well, how thoroughly, how quickly I forgive others? You mean God waits to see if I first forgive others before he decides whether or not he's going to forgive me? And the answer to those questions are no. No, that is not what I mean. God's forgiveness is not conditional, but God's promise of forgiveness is. And we must understand this difference, or we will never understand forgiveness. So listen closely here. You know, God's word is filled with his promises that he will forgive freely and fully anyone and everyone who repents of their sins, comes to the cross of Jesus Christ, and trusts fully in our Lord alone. But notice the condition, the requirement that's built into that promise that I've just stated. Because you see, Scripture does not ever say that God forgives anyone and everyone willy-nilly, freely and fully, who's ever been born. God never promises that, does he? No, there's a condition attached to God's promise of forgiveness. The condition is repentance. Repentance of personal sin and a personal trust then in Jesus Christ. And throughout Scripture, repentance and faith are always described as being visible and obvious to the people around us. What did James tell us, even here this morning, that true faith was? It's not just a saying you love the Lord, you're showing it because of what's been done inside of you. Remember how Paul praised the Thessalonians for showing their repentance to everyone. And how did they do that? By turning from idols and to the one true living God. By their actions, it was obvious to the world what God had done within. You see, these two Christian characteristics, repentance of sin and faith in Christ, those are always to be active, living, obvious elements of the true Christian's life. They are to guide us and control us as we go out into the world. If we're really serious about and appreciate the forgiveness that we've received in the Lord, we'll show that as we act and interact with others, especially with those others who do not deserve it. So if we're truly aware of the tremendous grace that God has first shown to us as sinners in rescuing us from our depravity, then we will be not just able, but willing to show grace to others in their depravity when they mistreat us. And I can hear some others saying, yeah, but you don't know. I've forgiven him at least 20 times. And what does our Lord say? 70 times 7, which is simply the Jewish way of saying, don't even count. You can't count high enough for how much forgiveness you need to show to others. Notice how our catechism explains this. The very last paragraph then of answer 126. Forgive us just as we are fully determined, as evidence of your grace in us, wholeheartedly to forgive our neighbors. You see, if we truly have grasped the beauty of God's grace, then we, as hard as what it is, will show that grace to others around us. And beloved, we have no right to expect God's forgiveness of us if we just mumble an obligatory, well, I'm sorry, Lord, whenever we sin. We can't just tack on a tired old, oh yeah, forgive me all my sins, amen, to the end of our mealtime prayer. That doesn't cut it. That's not wrestling with this as it deserves. If we never try to live out true repentance and faith, our reliance on God's forgiveness of us is a joke. I would urge you, if you're struggling with this, I would urge you to read over tonight for your evening devotions, before you go to bed, the parable of the unmerciful servant from Matthew 18. Use those for your devotions tonight. Matthew 18. No true Christian, you see, can remain unforgiving of another person, demanding retribution from them. Because you see, along with God's gift of forgiveness of us comes God's gift of the Holy Spirit within us. And that Spirit will not allow us, will not just bring us to the point of repentance. He continues working in us to show forth this work in our day-to-day living, sanctifying every aspect of our heart and our life, softening us, taking away that bitterness and that resentment that we so easily cling to. So through the Holy Spirit's power at work within us, you see, we are mercifully given short memories, bad memories in this aspect. And that is what we need. For truly the world sins against us. Those closest to us sin against us. And so we need an understanding of this great forgiveness that God has first given to us. The Holy Spirit gives us minds that understand no matter how evil and spiteful someone else may have treated us, it does not at all compare to how evil and spiteful we have treated the Lord. If we can just see the magnitude of our own sin, then when others sin against us, we much more easily can forgive them. The sins we commit against one another are nothing compared to the sins we commit against a holy and perfect and pure God. So as we close here tonight, beloved, in this fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer, we have that revelation of divine grace. We have that remedy of the blood of Christ, and we have this reminder to forgive others their trespasses against us. May we be able to go forth this week, to go out through those doors, out into that world, and to live out true repentance and faith. May we be forgiven of our debts just as we forgive others their debts against us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you. We thank you for this forgiveness that you've given to us. For Lord, we know we have this hole in our soul, this hurt in our heart, how easily we in our fallen state forget all about you and demand justice for us. Father, forgive us, for we need much forgiveness. But then work upon us. Continue to give us your strength so that we then can serve you with all of our heart, that we can live for you as we go out into this world. Father, be with these your people and help them to do just that. Wherever they go, and whatever happens to them this week, lead them, bless them, and guide them in the power of our Savior Jesus Christ. It is in his name alone that we pray. Amen.